Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the Shriram Transport Finance Q4 FY20 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Umesh Revankar, Managing Director and CEO, Shriram Transport Finance. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning to the participants from India, and good evening to those who are joining from the western part of the world. It is a tough time as mankind has observed various pandemics throughout the history, where some were more disastrous than others to the humans. We are observing a very tough time, once again fighting an invisible enemy, the novel COVID-19 coronavirus. Initially observed in the Wuhan province of China, now fastly spreading around the world. On 22nd March, India observed 14 hours voluntary public curfew at the instance of Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Further, on 24th March, Prime Minister ordered nationwide lockdown for 21 days, affecting the entire 1.38 billion population of India. On 14th April, PM extended the nationwide lockdown till 3rd May, which was followed by two-week extensions starting 3rd and 17th May, with substantial relaxation. Beginning 1st June, the government has started unlocking the country, barring containment zone in three unlock phases. Let me begin with a brief overview of the macroeconomic scenario and on-ground development before I cover performance for the quarter. Amidst slowing global growth, India's GDP growth decelerated to an 11-year low of 4.2% in 2019-20. According to data released by the National Statistical Office, although the budget estimate for GDP growth in 2019-20 had been pegged at 8.5%, in the final quarter of the year, that is, January to March, the growth rate of GDP fell to 3.1%, reflecting the impact of the first week of COVID-19 lockdown, which began on March 25th. Although this is the lowest growth rate in the last 44 quarters, it is still higher than the 2.2% growth predicted by most economists and rating analysts. The agriculture and mining sector picked up steam in the fourth quarter, growing at 5.9% and 5.2% respectively. Even while the manufacturing sector contracted further, recording a negative growth of 1.4%, the public administration, defense, and other services grew at 10.1%. Agriculture and government expenditure have been the savior. However, the most disturbing news is that three components of the demand have fallen. Consumption demand has slowed down, while investment and exports are both in negative territory. There is a piece of good news for the Indian economy, which is battling COVID-19 and its after-effects of a gloomy scenario. That is, India is likely to have a normal monsoon this year. As announced by IMD Monsoon, showers are expected to be 100% of long-term average. India's food grain production is estimated to touch a record 295.67 million tons in the 2019-20 crop year. This is up by 10.46 million tons from the previous year's production of food grain of 285.21 million tons achieved during 2018-19. Record output is estimated in rice, wheat, coarse cereals, oilseeds, cotton during the 2019-20. Rice wheat production is estimated to be a record 117.94 million tons and 107 0.18 million tons, respectively, this year. In view of COVID-19 pandemic, the central bank advanced its monetary policy committee meeting. The RBI of India has reduced repo rate by 75 basis point to 4.4 from 5.15 on 27 March. Further, on May 22nd, the policy committee met in emergency meeting to review current economic outlook and impact of COVID-19 and reduced the repo rate from 4.4 to 4. It has reduced reverse repo rate to 3.35. On March 27, RBI had provided a 3-month moratorium on all term loans, allowing borrowers more time to repay. The RBI on 22nd May 2020 has extended the moratorium on EMI payments by another 3 months till August end, taking total moratorium period to 6 months. Coming to the commercial vehicle sales data, there are lower volume both in HCV and LCV on year-on-year basis. In case of HCV, volumes have been impacted by higher capacity due to axle load norms last year, extended monsoon which delayed the construction and mining activity, and also due to clarity on the extent of discount around BS4 as well as pricing of BS6 vehicle. For LCVs, last year base was incredibly very high and had moderate fall compared to HCVs. Overall, vehicles catering to essentials are faring better than those catering to industrials. Pre-buying of BS6, which was delayed in Q3 due to lack of clarity on pricing and discount, didn't kick off in Q4 in spite of expected price rise, as at least price rise expectation was between 12 to 20%. As the COVID-19 scare was looming by the end of February, the sales which was supposed to be picking up towards the end of the year, that's in March, did not pick up. The M&HCV vehicle sales for the year fell by 42.47 from 3.9 lakh units to 2.24, and LCVs fell by 20.06 from 6.17 to 4.93 lakh units. On liquidity, in terms of COVID-19 regulatory package announced by RBI on 27-2020, in accordance with the scheme approved by Board of Directors of company, the company has extended option of moratorium for installment falling due between March 1st to May 31st to all eligible borrowers. Further, pursuant to RBI notification dated May 20, the moratorium given to the borrowers are being extended to eligible borrowers for further period up to August 31st. Most of our customers are SRTOs, individual owner operator, and they earn on their vehicle, equipment, tractor, and pay. They do not have fixed monthly income or long-term contracts. It is very heartening to inform you that in spite of moratorium, the company has been able to collect from 84%, 23%, and 52% of borrowers in the month of March, April, and May. However, many of the customers prefer to make part payment and retain part with them to manage uncertainties in the month of April and May. Company had liquidity buffer of 10,422 crores and SLR investment of 1,824 crores as on March 31st, 2020. The liquidity buffer and SLR investment as on May 31st was 5,724 crores and 1801 crores respectively, as we did not seek back-to-back moratorium from the banks and institution. Coming to the headline numbers for this quarter, AUM grew by 5.04% year-on-year to 1,09,749.24 crores against 1,04,482 crores in Q4 FY19. Net interest income stood at 1,917 crore compared to 1,902 crore in Q4 and increased by 1.98% from 7,762 crores in 2018-19 to 7,916 crores for 19-20. The interest margin in Q4 19-20 stood at 6.76% compared to 7.14 in Q3 FY20, and for the full year NIM stood at 7.06 against 7.41. Profit after tax stood at 223.38 crores against 746.04 crores in Q4 18-19. The company had made provision of 909.64 crores related to COVID-19, and hence the full year profit stood at 2501.84 crores against 2563.99 crores for the full year 18-19. EPS stood at 9.85 compared to 32.88 in Q4, and for the full year EPS stood at 110.27 to 113.01 for the previous year. The Stage 3 NPA stood at 8.36 in the Q4 FY20 against 8.37 in Q4 FY19. The overall credit cost, which stood at 1.92 in Q4 FY19, came down to 0.74 in Q4 FY20, excluding COVID provision, and 3.82 after COVID provision. The full year credit cost stood at 1.64% as against 2.16 for the year 18-19, excluding COVID provision, and stood at 2.43 including COVID provision. So that brings end to my opening remarks. I have with me Mr. Sundar, Parag and Sanjay to answer specific questions. Now I request moderator to open the floor. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin for the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants request that you use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is in the line of Maruka Dujania from Milara. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, good morning.
Good morning.
So I have a couple of questions. Firstly, what would be your incremental borrowings from banks in April and May? And would you have borrowed from the TLTRO?
Yeah, we had a TLTRO sanction of 200 crores. Then incremental borrowing, around 800 crores we have borrowed in April and May.
Okay, sir. So, and any new borrowings lined up in terms of either bonds from banks or...
Yeah, pipeline is quite long. We have a good pipeline. We should be able to get something in this month and maybe in the subsequent quarter. Most of the banks are working with a very thin staff in Mumbai, and that's the reason the processing has slowed down. But we are confident that by this month end, we should be able to complete few transactions.
In addition to this 1,000 crores that you've already raised?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and so what would be your debt repayments in the first quarter and in the second quarter and in the third quarter? That is July to September and then right through to December.
Parag, you have a numbers with you?
Yeah, I have. It will be around 4,000 crores.
It will be around 4,000 crores.
Right through to December. So from now to December?
No. Next quarter, up to September.
Okay. And up to December?
Another 4,000.
It will be another 4,000. So you can take a run rate of 4,000 per quarter.
Okay. And so just one last question. What would be your moratorium by value up to end May? And what do you expect it to be in the second phase?
Sundar, you have numbers?
It will be, for the quarter June, it will be around 10,000 crores. It will be the moratorium that we have given. And maybe a similar amount for the next quarter.
Sorry, how much? 10,000 crores?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kashyap Zaveri from MK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. My first question is on your, you know, press release in with respect to SEBI circular dated May 20. Point number 5, you know, D says that we have applied for moratorium from, you know, banks for the loans that we have taken. Some of them have granted and some of them, you know, probably will receive consent in some time. Whereas if I look at your presentation, the COVID-19 update says that we have serviced all interest and principal payments to banks and financial institutions on time. So, you know, is there a disconnect here or how do you also don't read both?
In fact, when it came to the first moratorium announced by RBI, we didn't avail any moratorium. We had sufficient liquidity.
Right.
So up to 31st May, we have not availed moratorium from any bank. When the second moratorium was announced for another 3 months, that is the time we thought we'll approach banks and seek moratorium. That is for the next 3 months up to August. So that then only we started approaching banks, and around 8-9 banks have given their consent for moratorium. So if up to 31st May, all liabilities have been met, going forward, to the extent moratorium is granted, that will be further liquidity buffer which we'll be able to create when banks give their consent.
And, you know, let's say, even if they, you know, give, most of them, let's say, give a consent, do we still intend to sort of keep making payment, you know, despite having availed it? Like, you know, some of our borrowers, despite availing moratorium, have been paying us, right? So, do we also intend to do the same?
Yeah, see, we will keep connecting to customer on a very regular basis. We are in touch with all customers. Mm-hmm. And as, because vehicles are running, around 65% of the vehicles are running. And as and when they earn, they'll pay. So ultimately, it is earn and pay model. So they will, the moment they earn, they'll pay. So we'll keep collecting it and it will remain as a prepayment in their account. However, all the settlements, when the customer closes the loan, it is done on the IRR basis, contractor IRR basis.
No, sir. Sir, sorry to interject, but my question is different. My question is that, you know, like your customers have availed of moratorium, but they are still paying you. You have availed moratorium from banks, but would you still be paying those installments to your banks in terms of interest and principal?
I think that some call we'll have to take in case the liquidity is good. As of now, many measures have been announced and some measures have yet to take shape, particularly the partial credit guarantee which has been announced, some of the SIDB scheme, some of the MSME liquidity windows which have been announced. So if the liquidity comes out to be good under all the measures announced, then we will look at it. Because as of now, we have liquidity buffers, which is taking care of liabilities till September. So if liquidity further is good, that is more flow, inflow is there, that time we'll take a call whether, because anyway there will be interest accrual from bank side also.
Okay. Second question is on your quarter-on-quarter drop in margins. What would have, you know, contributed that drop?
It's mainly because of the derivatives treatment of the overseas borrowing that we have done, wherein in the previous quarters, if you see, there has been some gains on the fair value of the currency. However, in this current quarter, if you observe that the dollar movement has gone up substantially and we could not get any gains in accounting terms, and hence we the interest cost seems to be artificially high compared to the previous quarters.
Okay, but we have this, as I understand, our overseas bonds are completely hedged, right?
Entirely it is hedged. However, in the accounting, there is some treatment which needs to be done, which has impacted the interest for the current quarter.
And the full 30-35 basis points impact will be this only?
Pardon?
The whole impact of, you know, on the margins on quarter-on-quarter basis will be explained by this currency movement only? Or is there anything else?
Yeah, apart from this, there is no other thing.
Okay. And one last question on the moratorium side. Can you help us with, you know, how much, so you have already given data as to, you know, what percentage of people are already paying you, which is 52%. But if you can help us with, you know, how many of our customers have paid, let's say, more than two installments, one installment, and zero installment.
We don't have that offhand. Maybe you can connect with Sanjay after the call. He will be able to help you.
And just for one clarification on the previous question where you said moratorium by value of 10,000 crores, this is additional moratorium versus May 30.
Pardon,
can you
repeat the question?
There was one question on moratorium where you said, you know, the additional moratorium will be about 10,000 crores.
Correct.
That is incremental moratorium versus May 31st data.
Correct. That is the incremental moratorium. Even though we are giving, it's likely that because the vehicles have started playing, so we should be getting substantial amount of collection in the next 3 months also.
So on May 31st, that amount was 48% of the total loans. Is that, or that was only in the terms of number of customers?
That is number of customers. 52% was the number of customers.
So in terms of value, what would?
Value will be around 15% in the month of April. And 30% in the month of May, which should substantially increase in the month of June.
So on May 31st, 30% of our loan by value was under moratorium.
No. See,
70%.
So see, we had extended this moratorium to the entire set of customers. However, we have been in touch with the customers and we have been advising them if they have surplus money with them, they can pay the company so that they will pay on the interest component. And heeding to our request, around 25% of the customers paid in April and 50-odd% paid in May. That is the number of customers that we are talking.
Right.
Some people have paid part payment, some people have paid full payment. And in absolute amount terms, around 15% of the pre-moratorium demand was paid in value terms in the month of April. And the pre-moratorium due for May, around 30% was collected in May.
Okay, sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Cheda from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. My questions were answered.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akash Dasani from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah, hi. Good morning and thank you for taking my questions. So I have a couple of them. If I look at, the split of your AUM over the last few quarters, two trends if you could just elaborate on them. So HCVs in absolute numbers continue to grow, although at a very slow pace. And tractors have dipped substantially. Could you sort of, because we see some other players, HCVs have degrown and people are talking about stress in that segment. So could you sort of explain, your views on the same?
No, the tractors, we had around 3 to 3.5% of our total portfolio in tractor. That has not grown faster. In fact, we would love to grow faster in the tractor segment. And LCV, again, we are growing. In HCV, it's mostly because the ticket size being larger, it remains at a higher percentage in our total portfolio. The ticket size of HCV is 3 to 4 times of the tractor or LCVs. Overall, we have maintained the segment-wise growth in a similar way. Only in LCV, because of the higher agricultural activity, LCV is growing. And we intend to grow more in tractor also. Probably next year we'll see some growth.
Okay. And so another trend that is visible, say, over the last few quarters is your increasing reliance on overseas borrowings. So could you sort of... why would you, as in what would be the driver for this and what is your sort of strategy here on?
The foreign borrowings, earlier it was for the minimum period of 5 years. It was relaxed to 3 years. And NBFCs were not allowed to borrow from the overseas 3 years back, and it was allowed. So once it is allowed, once and also when the minimum year term brought down from 5 to 3, we felt that that is a good opportunity for us to diversify our source, because diversification is very important when we are quite large, and so we felt that as a part of diversification, even if it is a little expensive, we need to be there in the international bond market. So that was the reason we went ahead and borrowed from the dollar bonds.
Yeah, I think two, three more opportunities also came up. One was reaching out to multilateral institutions. So we had borrowings from three of them, IFC, POPACO, and OEB. That was apart from dollar bond we did. And also some ECA transactions. This is export credit agencies from different countries. So we had the opportunity to borrow from them also. We will continue our dialogue with the multilats and other agencies apart from a dollar bond, which will be one or two in a year. But the other development institutions will definitely be engaged for our kind of customers what we deal with, which are fulfilling their norms of social objectives or ESG norms. So wherever there is an opportunity to reach out to multilats, we'll keep our options open.
Okay, so you mentioned two other organizations after the IFC. I didn't quite hear those actually. So if you could please repeat them.
One was PROPACO and other was OEB.
Okay. So, and you mentioned also that you all borrow from export credit agencies. So, how would that exactly work?
So, if we're doing a particular asset class of a particular country, so the agencies look at the growth of their company's export to India, so, and they fund. So, that has been a feature with many of the agencies. Which one transaction what we did was with an Italian manufacturer for their assets in country. So, and incremental borrowing also can be there from them based on volumes what we do for PIGO and other Italian.
Oh, okay. That's it from my end. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Umang Shah from HSBC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning and thanks for the opportunity. Just a continuation on overseas borrowing. What's the headroom that we have on borrowing in FY21?
In fact, RBI permitted limit is 750 million for a financial year. That is, for every financial year, you can borrow 750 million. The entire limit is available for the current year. But in past, what we have seen is if you are able to exhaust the 750, this is automatic route. Then you can always approach RBI for further limits. And based on
RBI's permission being granted, you can actually then borrow more. But 750 is a limit what RBI has fixed for any corporate.
Okay. So my next question is, if you could just share your outlook in terms of regions where we have opened up our branches, some initial feedback from customers or the kind of inquiries that we are seeing. Because in general, the view is that the demand for used vehicles may remain a bit resilient compared to other vehicle segments. What would be your view on the same or some initial feedback?
You are right. In fact, all the demand or inquiries today are coming from the rural market. And the rural market people normally prefer second-hand vehicles. And therefore, the inquiries levels are high. Even we have seen vehicle exchange that has happened recently, buying-selling activity. Most of the buyers are from the rural market. So there's a good demand from the rural market. And we also feel that harvest being highest in the last harvesting period, and the state government and central governments have procured most of the food grains, and they have released only part amount, the other part of the amount to be released at. So once the government releases the full amount, people would have reasonably more cash, and their ability to buy and own the assets would be much better. So the tendency will be more towards used vehicle, and rural market will be the first to start buying the vehicles. Post-September, once the infra activity starts, I think the urban market also will start improving.
Right. And so lastly, we have built up a good buffer in terms of our stage 1, stage 2 provision cover. We are already at 3.1% of our non-stage 3 assets. Would you have any outlook on how the credit costs may look like in FY21? I know it may be a bit early, but any early assessments that you would have done on your portfolio?
See, we have already factored it in our ECL calculation. So it's already moved to from average of 2% to 2.43 in the last quarter itself. Further increase, we don't really foresee much, but if the COVID-19 continues to remain and activities remain a little subdued, it may go up maximum up to 3%. This is what we feel. Then it will come down again, because if you see in the past cycle also, it has gone up beyond near to 3 and come back to 2%. So we should be able to maintain in the long run average of 2% credit cost, even though temporarily it may go up from present level to maybe up to 3. But we are confident of maintaining it, containing it at around 3.
Great. And sir, last data point, what quantum of loans were securitized in 4Q?
2,369
crores.
Okay. Thank you, and wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Ramakrishnan from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the call, and to start on an optimistic note, you know, it's good that 65% of your customers are on growth. I've also learned the art of grouping many questions in the two question list. So first, I'll ask on liquidity. You had said about the number of customers who are paying, like 52% was the number. But let's say you were to receive 100 rupees, how much are you actually receiving in terms of amount? And the related question is in the liability side now. In terms of FD, because your SLR book is the same, does it mean that the FD is still at around 11,000 crores, which we saw as at March end, or is the FD amount decreased or increased?
Now, fixed deposit is around 11,000, and 15% of it is the SLR. So the first question, I did not get fully.
Okay, sir.
Okay, yeah, 52% of the customers On the value terms, it would be around 30%.
Okay, so if you have to receive 100 rupees, you're receiving 30 rupees. Would that be a rough...
Yeah, 30 to 40 rupees it, around that, yeah.
Okay, excellent, sir. The second question is around capital, and the most often stated is statement is never used to raise a good crisis. You know, you were looking, your capital equity is actually already looking quite strong at 18%, but yet you're raising more capital. Alternatively, there are also plans of merger with SCUF, which is sitting on excess capital. Is there any chance that you would look at that or strategically look at a strategic investor like you've done in the past, including maybe even, you know, conversion into a small finance bank or a bank?
See, none of those bigger plans are discussed now because we want just to go through or sail through this phase. So all other plans are in the pause, and we never had a banking ambition. So we have not discussed anything as far as banking is concerned.
Okay, sir. But the capital raise is something you'll go through with?
A capital raise, we have not discussed this in this board meeting. It is not a part of the agenda.
Okay, fine. Thanks a lot, sir. And good luck, and I hope the utilization improves.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Dhole from the Privantage Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you and good morning. Couple of questions. Firstly, under the ECL methodology, I wanted to understand this a little better. When you do not have a precedent for such an event and there is no past history of your portfolio performance under such circumstances, how do you then arrive at the PD and LGD assumptions that you have used for this quarter?
See, there are certain models given by the rating agencies that we have factored, and also based on the moratorium, and there are other international reports also which we could get access to. So those had aided in our decision making. Plus, at the ground level also, we saw the customer behavior, even in spite of the moratorium, how many people are paying, and pre-moratorium, what was the stand. So all those factors are built in the logic for increasing the PD and LGD.
Okay. And sir, secondly, are there any, so you said that in the first round of moratorium, about 10,000 crores was the moratorium by value, right?
Yeah.
So when you say that incrementally 10,000 crores gets added in the second round, are there any borrowers who are coming out of the first moratorium who have not decided to pursue or, you know, go for the second round?
See, some people have communicated that they are not interested in the moratorium, and even many people who have taken the option of the moratorium, in fact, we didn't have the concept of opt-in and opt-out which other companies and banks are giving. We had NMAS given to almost all the customers. However, we have been in touch with the customer borrowers, and then we have been advising them that in their interest, if they have got surplus funds, it is better to part those funds and repay the borrowing so that they save on the interest cost. And taking into account all those things, as I said, around 52% of the customers had paid in May, and we are hopeful that this percentage will further improve, and similar trend will be witnessed in the next quarter also. So even though the 10,000 crore moratorium has been given, we expect that many of them will not be exercising it.
But that time period for, you know, by which they have to inform you whether they want to go for the second round or not is already passed, right? Because it starts on 1st June.
See, it is not, even if they avail also, they will repay the installment, and it will be, since in a way the account is given the IRR concept. So even if they pay, it gets to the creditors of their account and they save on the interest. So ultimately they will not lose anything.
So let us understand our customers. First of all, we have to understand our customers. If a customer is buying a vehicle for making his livelihood, he also is making an investment into the vehicle and he would like to earn on the investment. If somebody is taking a 5 lakh, vehicle worth 5 lakh, he invests 1.5 lakh and borrows 3.5 lakhs. and he would like to repay in 3 years. And at the end of 3 years, his expectation that vehicle value from 5 lakhs would have come down to between 3 to 3.5 lakhs.
Mm-hmm.
So he would sell it. That means on his investment of 1.5 lakhs, after repaying the loan, after meeting his livelihood, he will make a profit of 1.5 lakhs. That vehicle value is 3 lakhs, his investment is 1.5 lakhs. That is how the calculation is made by each and everyone who comes into this business. Sometimes he may earn little more or sometimes he may earn little less. If the maintenance is more or vehicle diesel value is less, instead of selling the vehicle for 3 lakhs, he may sell it for 2.5 lakhs. And again, that 2.5 lakhs will reinvest into the business. Every 3-4 years, they keep buying and they reinvest into the business. While reinvesting in the business, he may buy 2 vehicles or he may buy 1 vehicle which is of higher value. That's how the individual operators come into the business, make his livelihood and repay the loan. So his interest would be always to repay the loan as early as possible, not delay as much as possible. Delaying and keeping the cash with him is not going to help him at all, because paying it fast and realizing the value of the vehicle is the interest on which he comes into the business. And since we know our customer well, we keep advising him, whenever you have money, keep paying, whether it's a part or full. So that is the encouragement we give. Ultimately, he wants to clear the loan as early as possible. That is the fundamental of our customers.
Right, sir. Got it. And just, sir, one last question. If you remember this, would you know what was the ultimate write-off of the portfolio which was made because of delinquencies arising out of demonetization?
Demonetization? We don't have numbers right now. Sanjay will give their
number. Any rough number would also do.
If you look at our credit cost had gone up by around 50 basis point around that time, and that is the estimation I can give you.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Agarwal from Doordarshi Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. My first question is, you mentioned that company has extended moratorium to eligible borrowers. Now, what does company define as eligible borrower?
See, it has been given to almost everyone, but for certain chronic defaulters or willful defaulters. So we have identified certain customers and we have removed those customers from it. And other than that, we have extended to almost everyone.
And so what percentage would that be approximately?
Around 95-96% should be the customers to whom we would have given.
Got it. And would you be able to give a sense of what is the LTV of the portfolio? And especially by, you know, different LTV categories that you give out.
LTV is, we were lending at 70% LTV till 2018. Post 2018 October, our LTV we reduced to 65%. So we have a portfolio which is between 70 to 65%.
And this is across all the used as well as the new, or
it's mostly for used. In new, the LTV will be a little lesser. It will be around 75 to 80%. It will be higher.
Got it. And what percentage of our customers actually are able to utilize their vehicles now? So would you have the utilization rate at this point for our customers in May, and how has it changed in June?
To start with, it was around 30% of the customers who started operating the vehicle even in month of April. May, it has increased to 50%. And by the end of May and beginning of June, 70% of our customers are able to use the vehicle. The only interstate vehicles are not being able to operate fully, because long distance vehicles, there are some challenges, because one is they are not sure about the wayside facilities in case of emergency or requirement. Therefore, there is some reluctance, and also the industrial activities are not fully started, and therefore not many freight also is available. And the other segment which is hit badly is passenger transportation, especially the taxi segment, which is around 3% of our total portfolio, Ola, Uber taxis and city taxis. There has been challenges, but other passenger transportation like rural area, local transportation, that has operated. Green zone has been allowed to operate. So there the operations have started, and non-green zone, there are some restrictions. From June 8, from this Monday, I understand that they have allowed Ola and Uber to operate in many of the cities. Mumbai, it is not fully operational, but still 30 to 40% of the vehicles are running now in the city for passenger transportation. I feel by June end, all vehicles should become operational as the activity picks up.
Got it. And given that the rural economy is doing so well, I could not understand why your tractor portfolio has not picked up. Can you explain that again, please?
The tractor portfolio, tractor portfolio, what we have, when we are talking about growth in portfolio, it is about the full year performance. And the agricultural activity has picked up maybe in the last 7-8 months. So we are witnessing demand coming from the tractor. But as a portfolio, it will not make a big difference, because out of 100, 3% is a tractor portfolio, and it is remaining around 3, maybe plus and minus 10 or 20 basis point, because the ticket size being small. We finance only used tractor, not new tractor. Therefore, the ticket size is only 1.5 lakhs per tractor. Therefore, we have to do lot many numbers of tractor to increase a percentage in the overall portfolio.
So when I see incrementally, it has come down from 3.1% in Q3 to 2.9% in Q4.
Yeah, I agree. It will definitely do well.
But is there any sort of structural reason why it has not grown, or it's just one-off? There is no specific reason.
There is no reason as such, but if we had focused on new tractors, probably ticket size would have been larger and it would have grown. But we have remained on used tractor only. We have not gone into new tractors. That could be the reason.
Oh, got it. And then can you talk a little bit about your incremental cost of borrowing, and also if you can break it down by public deposits, securitization and bank borrowing? How is the cost of borrowing moving across those three segments and overall?
On public deposits, we have activated all our branches now. Earlier, branches were not sourcing deposits, and we hope that public deposit will grow in the current financial year, and rest of it for Avila.
In fact, for deposit also, we have reduced our rate. So retail deposit also, rates have been reduced by around 30 to 40 basis point. And when it comes to borrowing from different sources, banks have also reduced their lending rate. So incremental cost is between 8.5% to 9% when it comes to 5-year borrowing, what we have done, which used to be around 9.25% to 9.5%. So there is some saving there. When it comes to securitization, the volumes have been low because now on lending is permitted as priority sector shortfall can be fulfilled by banks by doing on-lending. So that bank will take that as a preferred route rather than doing securitization. And that will be equivalent to the regular term loans what banks used to offer. Gopalpur. Securitization because of credit enhancement and weighted average tenure being slightly lower. It used to be at a slightly lower rate. On lending will be a regular term lending rate, which will be between 8.5% to 9%.
Got it. And public deposit is less than 8 for you?
Yeah, it starts from 7.6.
And so just one clarification I had was, given that you have a good brand image, why won't you want to raise more money to public deposit and keep the rate a little high? Anyway, you know, many of the NBFCs are struggling raising money. So why wouldn't you just want to raise more money to public deposit?
Yeah, as I said in the beginning, that is the plan. In the we did had a separate outfit and it was outsourced activity deposit. It was not done internally at the branch level. Now we have trained all the branches, especially during the COVID time. We have trained the branches on deposit product, and we have relaunched it in all the branches as we open all branches. And we expect the deposit to gather momentum. And you are right, we should be focusing on our deposit. And as far as cost of deposit and distribution cost, earlier it used to be a little higher compared to the wholesale product rates. So now the rates are better because banks have lowered the rate, so we can also lower the rate. Now it's very competitive. So next 1 year, we should be able to see good progress in deposit portfolio.
And then my last question is, if you can just break down your assets between stage 1 and stage 2, how much stage 1 and how much stage 2?
As on March, the stage 1 percentage is 80.43, stage 2 is 11.21, and stage 3 is 8.36.
Okay, thanks a lot. I'm done.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vibhav Batra from Fair Connect. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Actually, my question is on this emergency credit line guarantee scheme. What's your view and are you planning to avail that of?
That is a 3 months, very short. So I don't think we'll be able to avail that. Even if it, we avail it, we don't have product which is such a short period.
No. This the scheme is for your borrowers. Sorry, I put it wrongly. So basically, you can extend working capital loan to the extent of 20% of the term loan.
You are talking about MSME loan, 3 lakh crores?
Yeah. Yes.
That we have applying, and we are looking at the fine print and guidelines, and already we have approached SIDBI for that, and also some bank. We should be able to avail. We have some application already in the pipeline. We should be able to do something on that.
And what percentage of your borrowers will be eligible for the scheme?
Around 20 to 30% of a customer would be eligible for working capital.
Okay. Shouldn't it be higher? Because as long as the loan is in the name of company, okay, so most of your loans will be in individuals' names.
Individuals, yeah.
Okay. And I had a particular question, maybe you know, your team may have applied. That in terms of recovery, because your loans are all secured against the vehicles, that working capital is unsecured. And it's a 4-year tenor loan with 1-year moratorium on principal. Looks like that it will give some relief to the borrowers. At the same time, recovery, whatever you get through the sale of vehicle, you know, if it goes to repo and other things, it should possibly be yours and not delegated to government, but there is a lot of confusion on priority of claims. So any thoughts on that?
See, the repossession is hardly 1% of our portfolio. we have not applied our mind on how it will think. Because when only 1% of portfolio is repossessed, how to share it with government is something which is too early to decide or discuss.
And your stage 3 coverage, you've not really changed. It's 34%. So does that mean that from harder assets, your assumption on recoveries remain the same despite this very challenging time?
See, every year we reassess the LGD and PD numbers in the month of March. And this time when we were doing it, we generally take this exercise in January, February. And when we had assessed, there was in fact a positive impact in both PD as well as LGD. However, taking into account the COVID-19 situation, we again reassessed and there was a marginal increase in spite of COVID. So whatever 10%, 10 to 15% was increased in because of the COVID, some component was offset by the positive trend that happened till February.
Okay. But, you know, the situation is quite unprecedented. So I think what you get out of models, they may not be very relevant. And the judgment that you have on the ground, you know, which has been your strength.
Yeah, correct.
I think that needs to be mapped.
Correct. What you say is correct. However, we are confident that whatever we are providing is more than adequate at the current point of time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
All
you.
The best.
The next question is from the line of Love Sharma from Lombard ODM. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Thank you, everybody, for this call. Just wanted to have a quick follow-up on some of the questions. Can you elaborate within some of the AUM segments that you have, specifically the passenger vehicle segment? You elaborated about the taxis, something about 3%. The remaining is buses, I would believe. And if you can give a sense of, you know, what kind of capacity utilization you see there, first question. And secondly, I think on, can you give a broad sense of where do you see pain points within the asset portfolio? You also have some of these working capital or short-term loans to some of your customers. And like you mentioned, the interstate vehicles are still struggling. So is that something which you expect to persist given the slowdown in the economy, or do you expect it to recover almost fully, let's say, from June or July onwards? Thanks.
Yeah, the passenger segment, the taxi segment in the red zone areas are still not operational. So that is some area somewhere we feel it will take some time. But however, now the government has announced. So they have announced that only 2 passenger can travel and the pool taxis are not allowed. And that will create, as economy start picking up and all the offices start working, people may prefer more of the individual transportation rather than the public transportation. So, therefore, I feel that portion will start improving in the month of June, maybe towards the second half of June. And other passenger vehicles are factory buses or rather the company buses or the school buses. Schools are opening from July, so we feel that the school buses, even though there are not much of a payment issue with the school buses, that will again start improving. And we again, as far as the staff transportation, we ourselves, Shriram, ourselves are using around 14 buses every day for transporting our staff instead of using the mass transportation, which of course mass metro are not working, but even we would like to continue the use of buses for our employee transportation for the sake of hygiene, and many of them will follow. So that will create a bigger demand for passenger transportation. In the rural area, green zone, there is no challenge as far as personal transportation is concerned. I don't think there will be any challenges there. The other pain points would be interstate long-distance truck movement. That is yet to pick up fully, for the fullest extent. But I think as the all manufacturing and factories start opening up with more than 50% staff, then automatically the demand for the trucks would improve. And one advantage our customers would have it, they are not dependent on drivers. Most of them drive themselves or their own friends or relatives. So the shortage of drivers, which is one of the reasons for many of them not operating, is not the reason for our people, our customers not operating. So they should be in advantageous position as far as the operation is concerned. So I think by June end, we should see every one of them start operating. And once they operate, we are confident of the collection being good.
I understand. So on the vehicles who ply interstate trucks, what would be the proportion of the total AUM?
That will be for us around 10% of the total portfolio.
Of the total portfolio, understand. And how about the working capital loans, etc., business loans, if you can throw some light there, what do you see?
Yeah, the working capital loans are basically given for running of a vehicle. If somebody wants to replace tire or fuel credit, so they are all actually have security. They are not unsecured in the that sense because it is given for operation of a vehicle. So only the business loan is also secured by mortgage of property. So none of the business loan is without any mortgage. So overall, all our portfolio are secured and unsecured portion is negligible.
Understand. And could you, just last question, in terms of the collections you're seeing currently from your the business loan, working capital loan customers and also these interstate vehicles, could you give some granular details on how much of collections have you seen so far from these customers?
Basically, the customers who are able to run their business on essentials and perishable goods, they were quite comfortable. They could easily pay both in April and May. And others where you have some credit period for getting money, even though you get some advance, balance amount is paid after a credit time of 15 days to 30, 45 days. That takes a longer time. So I understand that many of these manufacturers or shippers, there are some delay in payment because they are not fully operational. Their offices are not working fully. So therefore, the long-distance transportation has certain challenges. But I think once the activity picks up, once all the people, all employees start coming, all this will be addressed. So I think by June 15th, we should see a fair amount of good activity. And by June end, we should see that all bottlenecks go away.
Understood. Just one more, I think, on the liquidity side. You mentioned 4,000 crores of debt, which is due in the second and third quarter going forward. Does that include any expectation of moratorium, which you have requested from the banks, or is it the total liability?
Yeah, this is a total liability.
Okay. And in terms, you mentioned there are 8-9 banks who have sort of given the consent for moratorium. Could you elaborate on what kind of amount would that lead to?
No, I don't foresee a reason why others will not agree. It's a matter of time. I think everyone will agree. All banks will agree. In value terms, it will be around 2,000 crores, which is falling due, where we should be able to get moratorium.
Okay, so 2,000 crores for the next quarter?
Correct.
Okay. Got it. All right. Okay. Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr.
Thank you. As we discussed, we are in one of the difficult phase of the our what I should say economy, and plus overall on health and activity wise. We hope that now onwards things start looking better, as country has already opened up in most of the location other than containment zone, and the restrictions are removed and the shops are allowed to open. I think the activity will come back soon. But the most of the activities would be resumed and full operation by August and September. Thus, the monsoon being predicted normal, we should see a good demand coming back for credit and also improvement in collection in August and September. So we are confident and hopeful that next quarter, that is the July to September quarter, would be strong quarter, but March to June may be a little slow and weak quarter. But we have made enough provisions and enough precautions to manage the current quarter. Thank you very much. See you again.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Shriram Transport Finance, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect the line. Thank you.